Welcome to Coming Out Stories. I'm Emma Goldswell, I'm your host, and the podcast is brought to you from What Goes On Media. We're proud to bring you real people from the LGBTQ plus community every 2 weeks, so we're happy to share intimate conversations and talk about their lives and their journeys. This episode, you'll meet Lucy. She's a trans woman who waited 40 years to become the woman she always knew she was.
When I was about, say, five years old, I used to love playing in, like, you know, makeup and perfume and, you know, mum's shoes and dresses and such like.
Did she mind?
A lot of it she didn't know about. And I got caught one day. As you always tell children, oh, you know, children meant to tell the truth all the time, you know, behave, you know, such like. So I turned around and says, this is, what are you doing in your mum's clothing and makeup? Do you know how much it costs? Well, at the time, you know, a five-year-old's not got to know how much makeup and perfume costs. You know, I mean, yeah, hell, I know how much it costs these days because I buy an absolute ton of it. My dad turned around and went absolutely nuts. And he's like, what the hell do you think you're doing? You know, do you know that this is your mum's stuff? You're meant to be playing with, you know, Action Man and such like. Because I'm a mid-70s child. I was 70. It was 74 when I was born. So, you know, you're meant to be playing with Action Man and all sort of boy stuff. And I just like, I don't want to though. I want to be who is me, the girl I am. He says, start acting like a boy. I was like, I'm not a boy. I'm a girl. And he says, I'm not having no gay child in my house. You know, and this is what I've been thinking more recently. It's like, how dare you say that to a five-year-old child and scar them for life? That's basically cutting my wings before I'm even started in life, you know.
But it shows a certain level of ignorance, doesn't it, on his behalf, without being rude to your parents.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of not understanding the difference between sexuality and gender, for a start.
Exactly. Plus, the other thing was I got brought up in a working-class town.
Whereabouts?
Barrow-in-Furness.
Barrow-in-Furness, yes, I know it well, on the Cumbrian coast.
Yeah, so it wasn't kind of the best place to be brought up as being somebody who's LGBT. Everybody knows what everybody's doing, when everybody's doing it, and such like. So then, basically, I went back into myself and went back into the closet. And I just hid myself for so many years, and it's just like, every now and again, I catch myself, you know, wanting such as My Little Pony and playing with my sister's My Little Pony. I'm thinking, yay, this is fab. I love My Little Pony. You know, I remember wanting your pink Rara skirts.
Oh, in the 80s, yes. They were only in fashion for about a year, I think, weren't they?
So yeah.
So I'm thinking this would have been about 1982/3 that they were in fashion.
Yeah. And I was just like, wow, I want the pink top to go, pink strappy top to go with it. You know, everything that resembles me. But then I don't know what happened. We moved house and my family took me to a psychiatrist. They said, there's something wrong with you. We need to get you sorted. We need to get you looked at.
Why were they saying that, do you think? Did they give you a reason?
They said I was a difficult child.
Right. So this wasn't anything to do with your sort of behaviour around gender?
I don't know, to be honest, at the time, because, you know, a lot of things have started coming back to me over the last 10, 15 years. You know, my dad at one point had two gay friends. A lot of different things have started to kind of question, you know, such as, you know, why they were like that towards me. But yeah, they took me to see the psychiatrist. I was incriminated by my so-called family. They were like, you know, oh, this has happened, that's happened, this has happened. There's bullying going on then.
So what, hang on, they were in the sessions with the psychiatrist?
There was me, my sibling, my parents, and the psychiatrist all in one room.
Oh, so it's family therapy then?
Yeah. And I was classed as the kind of black sheep, if you get me. There's something wrong with him. We need to get him sorted, blah, blah, blah. So I went along with it because four on to one, you haven't really got a lot of chance of coming out of that wonderfully.
Well, no, and what age were you at this point, Lucy?
I would have been 11, 12.
Right.
I didn't turn around and say, yeah, oh, hey, I'm a girl, you know, because that would just put, you know, more fuel to the fire. It's just like there's things that sometimes you think best keep. I mean, back in the 80s, it was a difficult time anyway for anybody who's LGBT. But, you know, to turn around and say that to somebody who you don't know, it would have been even worse.
So you really kept your gender identity hidden, I guess, from your family and from the psychiatrist, because you just didn't want to be othered and told you were wrong, I guess.
Yeah. And then they sent me away to a place in Lancaster called Lancaster Moor Children's Unit, because they thought something was still wrong. I was just trying to be me. I was just trying to be the girl I was.
So this was a children's home that they sent you to?
It was like a children's home, yeah. Like a residential home.
Well, I don't know. Was it a medical institution or was it a school?
So it was for, disturbed children.
Right. So you had regular medical help and psychiatric sessions, or what happened?
6-8 months later, I wound up back in Barrow again, because originally one of the family meetings was, they turned round and said, oh, we want such and such a body to stay in Lancaster because he doesn't adapt well moving from place to place. The children's unit turned around and says, well, we think he'd be better being back with his own family. Mm. Unfortunately, I ended up back in Barrow, which was not the best thing. Then I started paying more attention to girls around 14, 15, and clothing and makeup and hair, and thinking, wow, you know, why can't I, you know, have hair like that? Why can't I wear the clothes like that? Why can't I have the dress like that? But it was all kept inside me. And then I think it would have been around my 16th birthday, I had a racing bike, and I rode to town on it one day. And there used to be an old catalogue shop called Hitchens. And I'd gone in and I knew where kind of all the hi-fi stuff was. So I was just like, yeah, okay, yeah. If anybody sees me, I can just say, I'm just looking at a stereo and try and get away with it and pull it off.
But you weren't there to look at stereos, I'm going to guess.
No, I'd already seen what I wanted to see. So I went back another time, hoping what I'd seen was still there, and it was. I can remember the colour and I can remember what it was. It was a long cocktail dress with puff-sleeved arms.
Wow.
But the puff-sleeved arms, they were kind of off the shoulder, if you get me.
Mm. Oh, it sounds very dynasty, Lucy.
Actually, yeah, that's the word I'm thinking. Yeah. Very, very dynasty. It was in what I can only describe as a cobalt blue colour. You know, I was quite skinny at the time. I just kept looking around, looking really bad, you know, because I didn't know all the time. I found the women's change room, and I was like, I wonder if I can just pop in change room, try it on, and come out. Oh, my God. I tried it on. And for that split second, I felt an absolute million fucking bucks. I was just like, I'm here, I've arrived, I'm here.
Amazing. And was anyone in the changing room? Did anyone see you?
No, nobody was in the changing room. Hmm. But then I also got something I didn't know about at the time, and that was dysphoria. And I never knew about dysphoria at the time. I took another look back in the mirror. I was just like, dysphoria really kicked in at me. I was just like, you look stupid, gets off. This is horrible. I can't stand it. It's not me. So then I went kind of back into hiding.
I'm guessing you didn't buy the dress then.
No. Went back into hiding, left school.
So just before we get to you leaving school, were there any other issues at school? Was there any bullying? Did people identify the fact that you were acting maybe effeminately or just not in the gender they thought you should be acting?
There was one girl I remember. It tickles me to this day. I can't remember her name for life of me, but I do remember her.
Probably for the best.
Yeah. And she turned around and she says, I think she caught me staring at her bra. And she says, what is it? Do you want to go and get a brand, put it on you? I thought, back in my mind, I was like, oh, yes, please. Yes, please. Yeah, but I didn't turn around and say it in the middle of class. I was just like, no. There's just some things I just didn't do.
No. But did the boys say anything to you? Did they? Did you have friends?
Not a lot of friends at secondary school. Secondary school wasn't a good place for me. I just wanted to kind of be left alone and to get on with things. I left school and I've had a few jobs. And now, to think about it, some of the jobs, you know, how did I even do them? You know, my first job was working in a garage. I mean, now when I look at myself, I have long nails. I have clean hands. I love perfume. I love makeup. I love my hair. It's completely the opposite to kind of how I was at the time.
So you had your overalls and your oily overalls on and were mucking in. Yeah.
So it's kind of early 90s. Places are closing down due to recession and such like. I went to work on the body side. I enjoyed working on the body side, which is accident repair. It was good. It was something I had a passion for. But unfortunately, they went into debt and they got shut down as well, which was a real shame. I then went and worked in as a driver for funeral directors.
And all this time, were you living at home or had you moved out of home by this stage?
I was living at home at this stage. I think a year later, I'd moved out, kicked out, whatever you want to call it. You know.
Well, but, don't know. You tell me. Was it a decision to move out?
It was kind of a bit of both, to be honest, because my so-called parents wanted me out. And I kind of had enough. And I was just like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm getting out. I need my own space. So, yeah, you know, it was kind of a mutual decision.
Did you have any support from your siblings? You mentioned a sister before. Was there anyone else? Did they support you? Did you get on well with them?
I did and I didn't. She had her moments where she could be so, so nice and yet so, so nasty just 2 seconds later.
Hmm. Well, she was probably a teenager as well with hormones flying everywhere just to defend her slightly.
Yeah, she was. She'd been 15, 16 by the time I left.
Yeah.
I went to live somewhere for like 8 months and I was trying to get a job so I could leave Barrow and finally say, I'm done, I'm out, no more, I'm gone, I can live as me. I got a job in a place called Poynton, which is in Cheshire.
Oh, yeah.
I moved to Macclesfield and I moved in with one of my best friends. I've known this friend, oh my God, how many years? We've been friends since secondary school and we're still friends today.
Oh, fantastic. So you did have a good friend through school then?
Yeah, yeah. He was just kind of, there wasn't many people, but I mean, I've even spoke to him and he said he was quite shy, quite effeminate. You know, he said he didn't see the signs in me because he was probably more bothered about himself and keeping himself safe. And then I understand that. I moved in with him. Still working in a garage. I'd gone back to garage work. I found something that I was confident in doing. I knew I could do it. But they were having problems with money struggles. And I was just like, do I wait for them to turn around and say, you're made redundant, or do I get out now? And my looking on it was, I get out now and I go back to college. While I was back at college, I started going to such places like Gap. In the middle of finding Gap, I also found Lessons of Lingerie. I started buying, you know, nice clothing that I could, you know, wear in my bedroom, you know, such as nice pretty thongs, a nice cami, a nice pair of cami shorts, you know, things I could wear for bed and feel me. All this while, my friend never knew squat about it. He never knew anything.
So you were still too scared to come out, really. And by this stage, I'm guessing you would have been like early 20s, maybe?
I was early to mid-20s.
Hmm.
It was a scary time, you know. It's just I didn't know how to turn around and say to my friend, oh, by the way, I'm a lesbian, you know, or, hey, I'm trans, because I still wasn't understanding what was going on what was going on in my own head, what was going on in my own body.
And at this time, did you know any trans people? Did you understand the word trans? Did you have any role models? Did you know what you were?
No, I didn't have any. I didn't have any role models. I didn't understand the word trans.
Right.
I hadn't met a trans person at the time.
And you'd gone through all of this without talking to anybody about it, really?
Yeah.
Quite extraordinary.
I actually went through hell. When I told my friend, how long on my 40th, I said, did you not know? And he's like, no. He says, I never saw any of your female clothing. I says, you wouldn't. I says, because when we lived together, I used to do my washing. When you'd gone out with your girlfriend, I used to dry all my washing, take it back to my room, and you never knew any different. I found it a way of keeping me safe.
So you really weren't ready to talk to anybody then, were you, if you couldn't tell your flatmate?
No.
Your closest friend, yeah.
I mean, the nearest I came to a gay and lesbian bar was called, I think it was called the Ambrose in Macclesfield. And everybody's like, oh, no, you don't go there unless you're gay, blah, blah, blah. I just thought, well, I can't be gay, you know. So I just didn't go in. I just avoided the place. I mean, although I did some stupid things in Macclesfield. You know, coming out of a club and pulling a Mooney at somebody, you know, but hey, there you go.
But you knew that you were attracted to women, so you weren't thinking, you knew that you weren't a gay man, you were just confused as to what you were, I guess.
Yeah, I met up with a girlfriend who I was with for, say, 4 years, and I moved from Macclesfield to Northwich, back to Macclesfield, then to Gloucester.
So you did have girlfriends during this time?
Oh, yeah, I had girlfriends, yeah. Even then, there's a lot of things that are still hidden. I'm not going to go into what happened with girlfriends, but there's still a lot of stuff hidden. And then in 2015, I got together with somebody. This is the turning point for me. 2015 was a turning point. I got together with somebody who lived in Liverpool. So I was travelling back and forth on train to Liverpool. We actually got engaged. And then come the January of 2016... she turned around and she says she didn't know that I was gay, but she knew I was quite feminine, you know, because I was using mascara, and she knew I was wearing such a perfume, you know. We discussed about getting married, and says, well, she says, let's go to Vegas and get married. And I was just like, I was all on board with it. I was just like, yeah, let's do it. Let's really do it. Let's go to Vegas. Let's get married. And I got my money together and says, right, pass me your account number. I'll drop the money into your account. So there's like kind of my chef, the airfare and hotel and whatnot. We'll get it done up there. She turned around and she went, whether I've got something to ask, I've got something to say to you. She says, I've been looking at me and you. And she says, I can't marry a man like you. And that was that. That was the end of it.
And did she give a reason?
No, she just said, I can't marry a man like you. And that was the point when I decided, right, okay, I have to make a decision which way I'm going for the rest of my life. I can either go the way I am or I can go the other way. So I kind of got to a crossroads, if you get me.
Yeah.
I can go the other way and try and be the girl who I was meant to be from birth. I chose to go the other way and to be the girl I was meant to be from birth. And you know what? That was the best thing in my life I'd done ever. Yeah, passed me driving tests and done. I've moved around, but coming out and choosing the other road, that was something completely different.
So who was the first person you came out to then? So who was the first person you told?
I think I started coming out to people who I knew, but the significant one I can remember coming out to was my adopted mum. I just sat down one day, you know, she's like, let's meet up for lunch. Like, yeah, okay.
So when you say you adopted mum, this is an official someone adopted you or just someone that you decided was going to be your chosen mother?
My chosen mother. But she may as well be like an official one because she gives me all the things that I never got brought up with. She gives me unconditional love, unconditional support, encouragement. Yeah, she balks me when I screw up. But, you know, hey, it's part of life, isn't it? My chosen mum is a significant one I can remember coming out to.
So what happened?
We'd gone to Marks and Spencer for something to eat. And then we did a bit of shopping. And then we went to River Island and I bought some clothes. And I said, what do you think of this? And she went, oh, that's nice. I was just like, yay.
And I'm guessing these weren't male clothes then.
No, definitely not. Big, long kimonos that nearly drag on the floor behind me. Yeah, that I still have to this day. And I still love it. And then after a while, what I did was I put a Facebook status up. I thought, this has either got to go one or two ways. I'm got to lose all my friends.
Gosh.
Or I'm got to get a heck of a lot of support. And yeah, I lost some friends. But what from the people I lost, I realised that then they weren't friends anyway.
So what did you say? What did you say in the post?
One of the posts was, hey, I'm changing my name from this to this. Somebody says, oh yeah, what again? You know, everybody changes their name on Facebook. Says, no, I'm doing it. You know, seriously, I'm changing my name, changing who I am. And I says, don't worry, guys. You don't have to be worried. I'm not coming after you. I'm a lesbian.
And what was the reaction?
People like, oh my God. But then saying that, I got a lot of people saying congratulations.
Yeah.
I was finally starting to come out to be me. I mean, I'd already been wearing things I could get away with, like feminine T-shirts, feminine trousers called bench. They were combat trousers, but you could almost swear, you know, if you didn't know, they were male. But I was trying everything to come across as the woman I am.
Mm. So did you have a conversation then with your chosen mother and actually, you know, say the words that I am trans and I'm going to live as a woman?
I just turned around and says, "Your mum, I want to have a talk to you." And she went, okay. In my mind, I was working out which way it was going to go. I was like, it'll either go one way and she'll say, congratulations, and throw around at me, or the other way and say, get out of my house and I never want to see you again. And she went the first way. She said, congratulations. I said, did you know? She says, I picked up on different things about you. She says, but I was waiting for you to tell me. I didn't want to ask you and get it wrong and offend you.
That must have felt pretty incredible.
Oh, yeah. I was on top of the world. It was an amazing feeling. It really was. And then after that, you know, people who turn around and ask me, it's just like, yeah, I'm a lesbian, you know. After that, I went to the doctors and asked for referrals to gender clinics. Went to gender clinics.
And that's a long process, isn't it?
Oh, believe me, it is. Yeah, I do know that now. Then I had so many, they asked for a psychologist report, psychiatrist report, so many different reports, and they all cleared me, and I'm like, right, okay. And then last year, I've been cleared by everybody, but my weight wasn't right. So I had to get my weight down, because otherwise they weren't going to do the surgery they needed to do. So I got that down. And then last year, I spent a bit of time with my friend who lives in Durham. Okay. I come off the hormones because last year they said, we have a date for you. You are coming to see us in April, given my surgery date. And 2 weeks before my surgery, it said, it's not happening because of pandemic again. You know, I was like, wow, really? So that was a massive, massive crushing blow to me. I went into myself and I cried for, oh, 2-3 days easily.
So they cancelled your surgery because of COVID?
Yeah, because I was like, how much more do I have to go through to get my surgery? You know, I've jumped through every single goddamn fucking hoop to get here. And now because of stupid fucking COVID, I can't have my surgery. And then one day my friend turned around and she went, hey, Lucy, you in? I was like, yeah. She says, right, this is what's going to happen. She says, me and the kids are coming down. We're coming to get you. You've been in our bubble since day one of the pandemic. And you're coming back to our house because we feel it's unfair that you are there in the middle of a pandemic on your own with nobody around you. It's like, okay. So I went back to there. That's in Durham. That was brilliant. You know, I was being lifted out of like my dark place, you know, but like my darkest place hadn't hit me, and my darkest place was still yet to come. And that was in September, October. And that's when one of the health professionals phoned me and says, are you ready for your surgery? And I was like, and I was ready for cancelling it right there. I was so ready for cancelling it because I was really intent on having a baby. I want a baby.
Oh, right.
Don't get me wrong. I still want a baby. You know, I really do. I'm such a motherly woman. You know, I still want a baby, but I was so intent. I'd done like loads of research on the internet, you know, and how long it takes, you know. I thought, right, where there, I thought, if I go and get my sperm, find out if I stop my hormones now, go to a clinic, get that looked at, find out if it's, you know, viable, then while somebody could be, say, pregnant with my child, I could be going through my surgery, healing and getting myself better. And they were like, no, that's not going to happen. And I had, oh my God, I had a really bad time. I spiraled out of control. I won't tell a lie. I really spiraled. I went into myself, I mean, to everybody else, even to my friends. I still had a happy, smiling face. But deep inside, I was just screaming because what I wanted, and I couldn't do it. And then the closer it got to my surgery, they turned around and went, we've got a date for you. How are you fixed for December 1st? Just on the run up to December 1st, they phoned me up. I was with my friend. I spoke to the lady again, and she was, so Lucy, have you decided what you're doing? I was like, yeah, let's do it. Let's get it done. I said, if you turn around to me now, and I said I had to be there yesterday, I'd be there yesterday. And she went, well, you're really serious about this. So I was like, yeah, let's do this. Let's get this done. It's been 40 years plus that I've been in the wrong body. Now I want the right body.
Wow. So 40 years. What a journey. That's a long time to wait for surgery and wait to be who you really want to be, doesn't it? So how does it feel now? You know, so we are over a year on from that moment of having your surgery. How do you feel now?
Well, how do I feel now? Wow. Amazing. I couldn't be happier. You're all my clothes fit in the right place. Yes, I'm on HRT. Yes, no, I'll be on HRT for the rest of my life. But you know what? I couldn't be happier. I am me. I am the girl who I was meant to be. Do I have an attraction to women? Yes, I do. That will never change. You know, I love women. You know, it's who I am. But yeah, I feel amazing. I mean, I don't have a girlfriend, but you know, hey, when the time's right.
Exactly. No rush. And no. Have you ever gone back and spoken to your you know, biological family, your parents or your sister, and told them about who you are?
I did speak to them 5 or so years ago. They tried to change my mind, and they went, why don't you try being androgynous? I said, what's that got to prove? I said, that's got to prove that I'm a bit between everything. I was like, no. I said, because if I turn around to you and says I'm androgynous, you will say, how about trying to be straight? I says, so I'm not playing that game. I says, I'm me. I'm the woman who I am. I got, you know, from my mother. Oh, she says, why don't you try having just top surgery and leaving the bottom males? Like, really, do you not know how biology works at all? I was like, why should I be a mixed match of both sexes? No. So even 5 or so years ago, they were still trying to change my mind to be somebody who they wanted rather than letting me be me.
Tough, really tough. So I guess you've gone on to find your own, as you said, you've gone on to find your own chosen mother, and you've got your own friends, haven't you? And probably, I'm guessing, couldn't be happier or haven't been happier.
And these days, you know, everybody turns on to says to me, Lucy, do you want to go shopping? I'd be like, yeah.
So it's been a long old journey, hasn't it, lasting over 40 years to become the woman that you wanted to be.
Definitely.
Finally, then, what piece of advice would you like to give to other people listening who, you know, might be earlier on in their trans journey or trying to accept their sexuality or gender identity?
The one piece of advice I would give them, and it's the same piece of advice I give to my young self, okay? You've got this. Believe in yourself. You can do this. Just come out when you feel it's safe to do so. Don't do like me. Don't hide yourself for 40-odd years.
I'm guessing you don't have regret, do you, though, about doing it so late, or do you wish you'd done it earlier?
I mean, looking at life now, I wish I'd done it in my 20s. I really do. But I say back then, life was different. You know, life was different in my 20s. The world was different in my 20s.
Wasn't it? You know, they do say, Lucy, life begins at 40. And I think that's definitely true in your case, isn't it?
Definitely. Definitely.
Right. Any last words of wisdom?
Just stay safe. If you don't feel like coming out to people at the present, don't do it. Just keep yourself safe. Be you.
A big thank you to Lucy for sharing her story. So life really began at 40 for Lucy. But in our next episode, you'll meet Grady, who waited even longer and didn't come out till he was in his 60s. By that time, he had grandchildren and he was working as a police chief in Kentucky. Unfortunately, though, he chose the wrong boyfriend to place his trust in.
He got really impatient with my progress, or lack of progress, filing for divorce and all that sort of thing. And I felt like I needed to do it on my own and in my own timing. So his impatience turned into anger, and he decided he was going to expedite the process for me. And so he decided he was going to out me. So he utilized social media to its full extent to expose me to everyone.